Malta was the first on the international map when it comes to the regulation of legal online gaming.
Main reason why. Why did we need Bill 55 for it to become Article 56A? What happened? What changed?
Starting point is that this law, or the protection which Article 56A is providing, is limited to Maltese license holders and their officers
and
or directors.
Okay. Yep. Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Sigma podcast. We're today with Antonio Ghio, a partner at Fennec and Fennec Advocates. We're going to be discussing Bill 55. First of all, thank you, Antonio, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Trevor.
Bill 55, what is it exactly?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's not Bill 55 anymore. It is now law, mm-hmm. Article 56A of the Gaming Act. It was unanimously approved by Parliament in May, June of this year. And basically, in a nutshell, what Bill 55 is doing is crystallizing the long-standing public policy in Malta vis-a-vis the provision of gaming services from Malta through a Maltese gaming license from a point of supply principle that has always been adopted by the Malta Gaming Authority and which reflects Malta's position when it comes to the freedom of movement of goods and services within the European Union. It basically provides that the Maltese operators should be comfortable through the Maltese regulatory landscape and feel protected by same, especially when we're looking at the enforcement of foreign judgments, which in some way, shape or form do not fully reflect the basic provisions or the basic principles and the basic pillars on which the Maltese regulatory regime is based. Obviously, we've seen quite a lot of developments in the past 18 months in various European member states. And the Maltese state, the Maltese government, proactively sought legal ways in which to protect its gaming industry, which, as you well know, is very important, not only for the Maltese economy, but even beyond our shores. And to proactively provide for the ability mm-hmm. for private enterprise to flourish in Malta.
You've mentioned many points, which we will jump into, but main reason why. Why did we need Bill 55 for it to become Article 56A? What happened? What changed?
Well, it's a long story which goes, I think, 20, 25 years. You know how Malta was the first on the international map when it comes to the regulation of legal online gaming, way before we actually had joined properly the European Union, and we're looking at an area of substantive law, which is gaming, mm-hmm. which is still not harmonized at European level. There are various reasons. There were ups and downs. There were very different scenarios that evolved throughout these years. But the established position today is that through judgments and decisions of the European Court of Justice, we saw that member states are free to impose their own national localized regulatory frameworks when it comes to the provision of gaming services. The position, or the long established position, that Malta took throughout these years is that the provision of online gaming throughout Europe should be protected under the fundamental freedoms, including the freedom of movement of goods and services. But there were ECJ judgments which basically stipulated that member states have a right to impose their own national regimes for various reasons, including player protection, including consumer legislation, so on and so forth. So on one side, we have a situation where the underlying substantive law is not harmonized. There is no approximation of those laws. On the other side, we have a long-established heritage as far as the European Union legislation is concerned when it comes to mutual recognition of court judgments. We have the Brussels I recast, which provides that a decision which is published from a court in a member state mm-hmm. could be enforced
in another member state. Would it have to be on every single level? So would it be commercial, criminal,
There are certain areas of law mm-hmm. which are completely excluded from Brussels I.
Such as
the recognition or the enforcement of a foreign judgment relating to divorce.
Okay.
Okay. Or matters relating to criminal matters.
Okay.
But the general principle back then, and this is the interesting part or the interesting reality mm-hmm. of European legislation that is always evolving, mm-hmm. is the fact that a specific provision which carves out the enforcement of a foreign judgment in a different member state mm-hmm. is when that judgment is manifestly against the public policy of the receiving member state.
Okay.
And the whole discussion now is what is public policy?
Okay.
And through Bill 55, through the amendments which were introduced in the Gaming Act, we're seeing that there has been the legal crystallization of what the long-standing public policy of Malta which relates to gaming is.
So Bill 55, Article 56A, is more linked to establishing or crystallizing what is public policy mm-hmm. than talking about enforcement of other judgments or recognition of other judgments?
It talks about both. Okay.
In what sense?
In the sense that if you have what Bill 55 is providing, and I think it would be relevant just to quote the law, is that no action shall lie against a license holder,
an MGA license holder,
a Malta license holder, okay. or current or former officers or key persons of that license holder for matters relating to the provision of a gaming service, or against a player for the receipt of such gaming service, if such action either conflicts with or undermines the legality of the provision of the gaming services in or from Malta mm-hmm. by virtue of a license issued by the authority, or the legality of any legal or natural obligation resulting from the provision of such gaming services. So the starting point is that this law or the protection which Article 56A is providing is limited to Maltese license holders and their officers
and
or
individuals.
Directors.
Okay, yep. So I need to ask a question here. Would the validity of that law be backdated?
The law does not specifically mention any backdating of the law. So okay. There is no retroactivity.
So there is no specific retroactivity?
There is no specific retroactivity written in the law. Okay. However, there are various judgments which provide that in certain situations, retroactivity should be applied in cases of court procedural matters. Okay. But the law is silent on this point. What I can add is that the most important part which ties in which what is happening outside of Malta and how Bill 56 Article 56A is trying to protect the local industry is sub-article B, that the court shall refuse recognition mm-hmm. and enforcement in Malta of any foreign judgment or decision given upon mm-hmm. an action of the type mentioned in sub-article A.
Okay. We know in the local industry that there is an individual currently under arrest in Germany mm-hmm. for the provision of gaming mm-hmm. in the German market. Would that bill in any way help that individual or not help that individual?
No, it will not help because he is under arrest in Germany. So there were German proceedings against an individual in accordance with German law. Mm-hmm. And that judgment was not attempted to be enforced or recognized in Malta.
Okay.
If a situation might arise, where a foreign court would initiate proceedings and take action and proceed to judgment against an individual who is a director in a Maltese company, and that decision would be attempted under the Brussels I regime to be enforced in Malta, this provision would also apply. So that is why it's protecting the local industry, but obviously...
You're protected within the confines of Malta.
Exactly. So, interestingly enough, some commentators in the past few weeks compared Bill 55 to a Malta Shield. It's also being known as the Malta Shield. Again, obviously, in Malta, we have quite a long heritage and history as having some sort of protection, giving protection to people who visit us and people who make Malta our home.
All you have to do is go and look at the monument of the Great Siege, and you see that we're carrying a shield.
No, exactly. So it's good to see.
Part of our history.
It's good to see that. There is this analogy with it.
So Bill 55, as an analogy, is a shield to protect the gaming industry on this island, and we should not shy away from saying that this is what is going on right now.
Correct.
So, we know what Bill 55 is, we know why Bill 55 is required, and we also know that Bill 55 is being compared to a shield. So,
yeah.
Article 56A. Now, when you look at how we got here, there were decisions, court decisions, if I'm not mistaken, taken in Germany and Austria, but it started off in Austria, with another analogy which has been used is ambulance chasing lawyers.
Okay. I will not comment.
But it's an analogy which has been brought to my attention on a number of years, where lawyers have actively pursued players in order to put together the court cases. Does Bill 55, Article 56A, offer protection within just the confines of Malta, or would it offer protection outside the confines of Malta for these sort of cases?
Obviously, since it's emanating from Maltese legislation, which is the Gaming Act, it is limited to Malta.
Okay.
And the reasons are multiple. First and foremost, as I said before, there is no harmonization of gaming laws at EU level.
Okay.
So, if the Austrians have a regime which is monopolistic in nature, that is a discussion which goes beyond what we're talking right now, or at least is peripheral to what we're talking here at the moment, we see a situation where the member states still have a prerogative, a national prerogative, on how to regulate their own their own gaming industries. This was confirmed through a number of judgments. For a number of reasons, Malta was always, in principle, completely in favor with the freedom of establishment and the freedom of
services.
But those freedoms are not, according to the court of the European Union, not absolute, which is fine. The reality, however, is that on the one hand, we don't have harmonization on the substantive law. On the other hand, we have complete harmonization or quasi-complete formalistic harmonization when it comes to the recognition of foreign judgments. So one could dare to say that when a foreign member state is applying its own national laws through its own national courts and have a judgment promulgated which goes against a Maltese gaming company, one could dare to say that indirectly they're trying to enforce that specific regulatory regime outside of their shores through the mutual recognition of judgment.
So they could be trying to impose their policy or their model of legislation, of regulating the market, through judgments.
I think they are being... they are using or maximizing the tools they have
at their hands. Okay.
On the one hand, we have a situation, again, for example, in Austria, where cases are decided in minutes, where the Austrian courts repeatedly have refused to refer certain matters up to the European Court of Justice, claiming, no, this is very well established, we don't need to refer this question on whether a dynamic assessment is being properly made by the Austrian courts, etc., etc. On top of that, we have a very funny situation where these, or the absolute majority of these decisions in Austria, relate to players asking for their money back, asking for receiving back the losses. We don't have cases being filed in Austria for players who have played on Maltese gaming sites and won. We only have, as you said, those situations where judgments relate to players who want their money back. There is also the fast development, something which we do not have in Malta, of litigation funds, where players are assigning their claims to litigation funds who are actually funding.
What are litigation funds?
Litigation funds is something which is, again, quite common in the United States, where if I feel I have been wronged by, say, a hospital, whatever, I assign my claim to a third person, a company, a litigation fund, who would have the resources to fight that.
On my behalf.
On your behalf for that case. And we're seeing that quite being the flavor of the month in, for example, countries like Austria.
I don't know if this makes sense or not, but you mentioned players who lose are the ones who are filing these claims or joining litigation funds. Have any operators tried to file any claims against players who won?
To my knowledge, no. I think this is...
But you sort of... there was a sort of reaction there. Do you think it makes sense? Should it happen?
Personally, I believe that when a player sticks to the rules, and because we're talking about operators here who were in full compliance with Maltese law, okay, who were properly licensed, who were offering their service in accordance with the Maltese regulatory regime, etc., etc. There hasn't been this kind of impetus for the Maltese operators to try and claim money back, because as far as the Maltese operators go, or at least that's what logic says, you know, those money were earned legally by those players, and therefore the Maltese operator shouldn't try and claim those funds back. But the reality is that the absolute majority, if not all, of the cases in Austria are basically
players relating who lost money.
About players
so
who lost money.
So you're talking about possible players trying to get free bets.
Well, you're talking about various situations. And the anomaly here is that whilst in other jurisdictions, you can apply for a license. So again, there is no harmonization and mutual recognition of gaming licenses. So if I want to operate in another European jurisdiction, I should apply to have a license under that regulatory framework, something which is not possible in Austria. So the situation would be different if those Malta gaming operators would say, okay, fine, I want to
offer. I'm not mistaken, in Austria, you're looking at a monopoly, a state-run monopoly,
exactly.
Right? So, on online casino.
Exactly. So we have a situation where the monopolistic powers that be are basically setting the rules. The laws in other member states, let me not pinpoint to specific jurisdictions, do not sync well with the principles that the Maltese authorities have embraced throughout the past 20 plus years, and therefore we have this the situation, which is evolving, which has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Now, the Maltese legislator was proactive, saw what the landscape out there was, and tried to proactively, through the powers available to the Maltese parliament, mm-hmm. even through the constitution itself, to make sure that the Maltese industry is protected. And I'm saying this also because if you look at the objects and reasons of Bill 55, mm-hmm. as presented in Parliament, the main object, apart from crystallizing the long-standing public policy argument, is also to empower and to protect private enterprise in Malta.
Okay.
Under the Maltese constitution, there is a specific principle, which is that the state has an obligation to protect private enterprise in Malta. Okay. And that is what Bill 55 and Article 56A are attempting to do. Okay. So we're not only talking about recognizing what the long-standing public policy was from a Maltese perspective in relation to the fundamental freedoms like freedom of establishment and freedom of movement of goods and services as enshrined in the European Treaty, but also putting meat on the bone as to what our constitution, which is the supreme policy. Law of the land, is providing when it comes to private enterprise.
Okay. There's a lot to go over on that particular point, especially when in this country we're talking about a reform of the constitution, mm-hmm. and legal question. If we reform the constitution, mm-hmm. and let's say there are changes in that particular clause on private enterprise, would that affect Bill 55? Would that affect Article 56?
No, again, there are many reforms to be made, but I think from an academic perspective, what we're seeing is that we have long-standing traditions and long-standing pieces of legislation, mm-hmm. including Brussels I recast, mm-hmm. in relation to the mutual recognition and enforcement of judgments, which potentially will need to be updated, potentially, or potentially the question is out there, is Brussels I recast fully reflecting what's happening in the European Union? And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
When Brussels
One, Antonio, we have time.
When Brussels One recast, mm-hmm. was amended, okay, because it was recast, mm-hmm. there was this discussion at a legislative level whether the condition or exception in relation to public policy should be retained.
Okay.
And in fact, it was retained, and that is the main argument which is being made in Malta, okay. when various operators are basically receiving requests for the recognition of the Austrian judgments in Malta, the issue of public policy. Mm-hmm. But public policy is not defined, mm-hmm. in the text of Brussels I recast, and it's up to the court of the member state to establish what that public policy is. There are various ECJ judgments which point a light or shed some light as to what this public policy should be all about, but they always leave it in the hands of the member states. What we have in front of us is a situation where a judgment from a different member state is attempting to be enforced in Malta under Brussels I recast, when the underlying substantive regime is not harmonized.
Okay.
Okay, so we're not talking about commercial debt, mm-hmm. okay? There is a foreign judgment in another member state which is trying to be enforced in Malta, and when it comes to that kind of commercial litigation, there is a good level of harmonization. But we're talking about gaming law, mm-hmm. which up to this very day has not been harmonized out of various legislative and political reasons, as you may know.
Last couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Bill 55 on an EU level. Mm-hmm. Has there been any scrutiny on an EU level?
Well, eyebrows have been raised, for sure. It was a very novel approach. Uh-huh. And obviously, people in Brussels will ask questions. Now, whether they're being pushed to ask those questions is something else.
Because that would be more on a political level, right?
No, exactly. And you also see, at least in the press, when you look at the names of certain lawyers, which are foreign lawyers who are actually writing to the European Commission, it's, mm-hmm. it's something else. But unfortunately,
aren't they the same lawyers representing the players?
I leave it to our listeners to conclude.
Well, to our viewers. Yeah. I'll say I actually did see one of those letters.
Okay. Keep in mind that from a Commission perspective, the European Commission for the past few years has put gaming law on the back burner.
Yes, it
and
has.
And deprioritized gaming.
Especially because I still remember during the presidency of Spain, I still was working at the MGA at the time, there was the discussion on the gaming green paper talking about harmonization on a technical level. Not on a licensing level, but on a technical level.
So on a political perspective, we're seeing that Austria and the monopolies in Austria were on the European Commission horizon, okay? But they deprioritized gaming.
Okay.
Now, at the same time, now certain sections are actually asking the European Commission to intervene. All well and good. I'm all happy for the European Commission to actually look into the matter. But it should look not only at Malta, but it should be
done in a consistent manner. And we can't be going down, up and down, and down, because that's the reality. Antonio, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We don't have more time, because I'm sure we could discuss much more. Thank you once again, and well done on the work undertaken. Thank you so much, and we'll be with you on another program of the Sigma Podcast. Thank you so much.